First of all, go to Silver Ferns, great netball match last night, so that's why I'm late here this morning. I think there are a couple of things that are quite important. I'll just make a brief comment on first. We are very pleased that the COVID video surveillance legislation has come back. It is no longer retrospective for live cases. It is for a shorter period of time until the government gets its act together and gets that search and surveillance legislation in place. Hopefully that will be done by a Labor government. Should have been done 3 years ago. We've now got a situation where I think we can deal with ongoing surveillance with a legitimate basis so that organised crime can be curtailed by the government's role in this area. We will have good legislation on the books. Where that legislation will not be retrospective, but people won't be getting off the hook as serious criminal offenders or alleged offenders because the Evidence Act already caters for that.
Prime Minister and Attorney General both say that people will be free as a result of the retrospectivity being removed.
Well, they must be clairvoyant in that case because the evidence of the Select Committee indicated that would be the case.
He said actually that he wasn't a there was a risk serious offenders
which is why we've always left it to the courts under the Evidence Act to decide whether to admit evidence, and that's why it was wrong for the bill to try to exclude that exercise.
So that is now obviously in the hands of the court to determine whether, despite being...
as it always has been.
But is that good enough to leave the law?
Well, it's always been the law.
So that's cool.
Right. Why should we change the law on the basis of an assertion from the Prime Minister at a press conference not backed up by evidence of the Select Committee?
I'm not asking... predicating my question on that statement by the Prime Minister. I was asking you whether you think that it's good enough to have that degree of uncertainty about whether or not evidence is going to be admissible
In a common law system, you always have some doubt because it's the courts who decide whether evidence goes in or not. And if you try to decide whether to get something in on the basis of past decisions, that's not new. There's always been a level of doubt. What we asked the Police Commissioner at the Select Committee was whether what we were doing would give him enough certainty to go forward, and he said yes.
So you don't think that any serious criminals will walk through as a result?
I don't think any greater risk to the public exists now as a result of what we're doing with this legislation than existed before, and that's actually the question.
But does a greater degree of risk exist than would have been the case if National Guard's by?
Well, you have to balance the evils here, and what National wanted was a blank check for the police, unprecedented powers for search and surveillance that had never been given before. We were willing to write that check.
Can you give an example? Doesn't it remove the risk?
Well, you can always remove risk if you're willing to pay the sort of price that they were willing to pay. The evidence, though, before the Select Committee showed that paying that price wasn't necessary.
Can you give an example of the kind of person or the kind of scenario who may have been adversely impacted if National had got its way?
Well, any search of any type and any collection of any evidence or material about any person would have been permissible under Chris Finlayson's original bill. That's breathtakingly wide.
Regardless of the gravity of any use of it. So you could have filmed someone's house.
That was the definition of search in the original bill. And so many people came to the Select Committee experts and said, look, this is unnecessarily wide. You have to narrow it down so that you put some safeguards in here. And that's what we've done.
You think the experts would be happy with compromises options?
Well, I don't think they'll welcome it with open arms. I mean, this is not an ideal situation. We're trying to put an emergency fix in here because, as Phil said, the National Government didn't pass the search and surveillance bill and had the opportunity. Instead, they got sidetracked on three strikes, boot camps and other window dressing that won't make any difference to the one where agenda in reality. But the reality is, that failure having occurred, we've now done the best fix that we can.
The Greens say that fix doesn't go far enough and that they're disappointed in the stance that Labor is taking. How do you respond to that?
Well, the Greens decided that the lesser of two evils was to deprive the police of the powers they might need in the interim because they were concerned that there was scope for abuse. That's a judgment that's open to them. We decided that it was better to give the police the powers they needed to shorten the time that they would have those powers and to put safeguards in place.
Mr. Gough, John Key claimed this morning that there were senior Labor people who wanted the retrospective element of the law, and somehow the court has divided up those sorts of things.
The Prime Minister's talking nonsense. As far as I know, he's not a member of our caucus. In fact, who wouldn't have him?
So is it true, though, that some of your party members were quite happy or wanting to proceed with the retrospective nature of this?
No, what's true is that we have the best compromise that could have been got out of this situation. And the fact that we've got that is because Labor pushed so hard. We pushed hard for a select committee. That original legislation was condemned by every witness bar one in front of the select committee as being utterly inappropriate. We've now got a situation where people aren't going to walk free that have committed serious criminal activities or are alleged to have done that. At the same time, we've removed the level of retrospectivity that being pushed through under urgency would have been utterly inappropriate.
So in the end, what sort of law do you hope to have? I mean, this is an interim measure, isn't it?
Look, 3 years ago, a Labor government introduced a search and surveillance bill designed to give police the power to carry out, with safeguards, covert video surveillance. This government has sat on its backside and not progressed that legislation. It was reported back to the House. Labor offered in writing to facilitate its passage. We didn't even get the courtesy of a reply in November last year to that offer. So the blame for this situation arising is wholly on the incompetence of this government in managing its legislation and giving the police the power that they knew the police needed to be given.
So in the end, again, this is interim, in the end, what are the police going to achieve?
Well, what the police can now do is continue on an interim basis video surveillance subject to safeguards, which is a necessary part of their work in terms of drug trafficking and organised criminal activity.
But they can do everything that they could do prior to the Supreme Court decision now with the safeguards that have been put in place for 6 months. After 6 months, we have to put the search and surveillance regime in place that basically has a warranting procedure in it that will regularise the situation.
John Keane, appearing on Radio 9 to talk supposedly about my prisoners, do you think that he breached electoral law doing so?
Yeah, the Labor Party has put a complaint to the Electoral Commission around that. We've contacted Radio Live. We said, look, you can't have in this part of the electoral cycle one party leader being given a program where he has full editorial control without extending that to other political leaders. Our request for that was declined, and it was not just for ourselves, it was for political parties across the board.
So you asked the radio station whether a Labor representative, presumably you, and yep, or other parties could come on and have that, and what did they tell you?
They said no. They said this was not political. Frankly, yeah, right would be the answer to that. This is either naive or worse than naive.
So why? What was their explanation as to why other guys were going to get a go?
Well, they didn't give an explanation, and that's the truth, but you should seek an explanation from them.
When you talk about that other possible reason, are you hinting at the $43 million bailout that was given to media?
Well, I think that suspicion exists. It might or might not be right, but the government did give $43 million worth of assistance to the company. And when the company then returns and says, for the first time ever, we're going to give the Prime Minister, on the edge of the election campaign, an hour with full editorial control, that's the suspicion that's left it. It might be well-founded or it might not be, but it's there.
That would be corruption.
If that was the reason for them doing it, that would be totally against the democratic process in this country.
Was Labor criticising an action in 2011 that it itself was involved in 2008?
I'm not aware of what you're talking about.
In 2008, it was a senior Labor MP, Shane Jones, who did something very, very similar.
Shane Jones was not the Prime Minister and was not a frontbench member of the Labor Party. I don't think he can compare those circumstances.
So do you think that John Key's office should have taken advice about this issue before he went on it? Is it also incumbent on the Prime Minister to act properly?
That would have been the wise thing to do. Look, in an election campaign, it's really important that everybody gets a fair go, and that, you know, because you're Prime Minister, you're not taking advantage of the situation that that isn't available to other parties.
Is it good enough that he said that he didn't discuss politics throughout the hour?
No, because it's not just about politics, of course, it's about promotion. And this was an hour of self-promotion for the Prime Minister. Fine, if that was available to everybody, you'd say everybody's getting a fair go. It wasn't.
Is it true that Radio Live then came back after the key arrived to our show, and offered you slot and you decline?
No, that's not to the best of my knowledge. I haven't talked to him directly, but you could check that through with my staff.
The public might think this is just labour.
It's not just about Labour, it's about a fair go for all political parties, which is what you'd expect 8 weeks out from an election.
So how would you describe the show that he took part in?
I didn't listen to it, so I'm told that it wasn't about politics, but obviously it was a chance for self-promotion for the leader of the National Party. Now, if that's going to apply to the National Party, it should equally apply to other political parties.
Jim Anderton is delivering his valedictory speech today. On a personal level, what is he like to deal with, and what contribution do you think he's made?
Well, I think Jim Anderton has made an enormous contribution to New Zealand politics. He was professional, he was competent, he worked very reliably with the last Labour government as a ministerial and parliamentary colleague. I've got enormous respect for him. I think he's made a huge contribution to New Zealand.
You didn't like Labour in the 80s,
though, did you? No, I think there was a fallout in the 80s that you're well aware of. He went his own way, and the cycle has turned. He's come back towards Labour policies. He'd say Labour policies have come back towards where he was placed. Whatever the explanation, he's worked closely with Labour, and I wish him well in retirement.
Did you support the Kiwi Bank?
Yeah, and I've got to give Jim full credit for that, because that's where the initiative came from, and he persuaded us around the cabinet table that this was the right thing to do. National having sold the bank to New Zealand, not having a major trading bank that were other than banks that were Australian owned, this created more competition and choice for New Zealand
consumers.
Did you bank with it? Yes, I do actually. I've got a couple of bank accounts, but one of them is with Kiwi Bank.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Cheers.